Hi, we are Angie and Annalie, and this is Brain Basement, a podcast where two friends who used to do yoga together in a basement now chat about chaos and wellness. As moms, we understand chaos. As expats, we get what that chaos looks like when you take it overseas.
From Manila to San Jose, we share stories of living abroad and explore topics around mental and emotional well-being. This podcast is for expat moms who want to find wellness amidst the chaos of everyday life. Welcome to Brain Basement. We're so glad you're here. Here we are, Brain Basement, in the flesh, over the podcast. Annalie and I have reunited to come back to Brain Basement after quite a hiatus this summer. And we're talking about starting over again, which is what we're both doing. We're both in new places after our summers of transition. And before we get into deep diving into our transition and tears and all the trauma, let's connect with our breath. So joining in for just a few moments of stillness, of settling into your body, figure out where you are in space in this moment, whether you're seated or standing, laying down, feeling your body, feeling that connection to where you are, and slowing down your breath. Kind of listening to hear how your breath is moving through your body. Seeing if you can notice how your breath is moving along your spine, in your belly, your neck, and your throat. Can you feel oxygen around your brain, through your nostrils? Can you feel the sensation of that breath moving all through your body, even through your limbs, through your hands and your feet? And just taking a moment to visualize and connect with all that's happening inside you through your breath, through your physical body in this moment. And if you have it available today, finding some gratitude for something great that happened, for something amazing and wonderful, or something small and wonderful. And as you feel that connection to your lungs filling, to your breath moving, and to being here with us in this moment, bringing yourself back to the world around you, maybe opening your eyes and joining us for a conversation about starting over. Annalie. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Angie. I'm okay. Starting over. Like, there's no better topic than that. So where are we? Should we do an update about where in the world we are?
Yeah, like, where are we mentally? Where are we emotionally? I feel like every episode could be starting over because we're like, we'll see you next week. And then 8 weeks later, we find ourselves in a whole new spot. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So you start. Tell us the three. Where are you mentally? Where are you geographically in the world? And where are you emotionally today on late August 2022?
Okay. Gosh, this is like a deep dive, even to like think about how I am emotionally. So I'm going to start with my physical location because that's the easiest. So I am in Virginia. And last June, we were still in Guadalajara, Mexico. And my husband was reassigned to go help with the war in Ukraine. So we switched from what we thought would be a 3-year assignment in Mexico, and we left after a year. So we never thought we'd do one of these posts unaccompanied where the kids and I are not with my husband, but we're doing it. We signed up, and so we are back stateside. So that's my physical location. What are we else are we doing mentally? I would say scattered. My brain feels so many different places right now. School just started this week. I have 4 kids still. And nothing's changed in that department. And I just feel like there are so many emails coming in from teachers and forms to sign and doctors. Appointments. So out and emotionally, I don't even know. I feel kind of, I'd say also scattered, but very like I can cry at the drop of a hat, but I can also like put a smile on my face and kind of like I don't know, I guess I just feel in the middle. Like when I'm alone and at home, I feel a little like overwhelmed, but when we get the kids out to school and we're seeing people, I feel encouraged, like that we have a supportive community here. So I kind of flip flop all day depending on where I am, but yeah, your turn.
Awesome. Okay.
Can you tell I'm like, I don't want to talk about my emotions anymore. Your turn.
No, I want to be like ditto, 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 except switch Virginia with Laos. So yeah, my physical location is Laos, which is a whole new part of the world for us because we've been primarily kind of in the Balkans. And we too were planning on our more years in our location and being in Ukraine. And then we left. So it's an unexpected change. I'm here in Laos and I'm kind of, I was in a fog for sure for the first week. I would say I was just in a fog. I couldn't complete a thought. I could not focus. I couldn't remember names. I didn't have a good sense of direction when we're driving around and trying to get to know the new place. I felt lost and in a fog. And now I'm coming out of the fog, and I emotionally right now, I think I'm in gratitude, I would say. I'm really kind of surprising myself at how much I love Laos. And I really loved Kyiv when we were there. I loved Ukraine. I loved everything about it. And I'm really finding lots of things I enjoy in Laos now that I'm able to stay awake a little bit and feel a little bit back to myself. But there was for sure a lot of stress and scattered and like pain before we arrived, and just getting to this place was a lot. And so maybe I'm just coming up with gratitude now because we got through all of that.
Yeah, you made it.
Yes, exactly. It feels like it was a long haul, even to the point, Annalie, I don't know if I told you, so we showed up at the airport on moving day which we've been counting down to for weeks, of course, and all the packouts have taken place and we're getting out of our rental house and we are trying to keep everything clean. We get our suitcases and drive to the airport. Our rides drive away. I say goodbye to my son in college. We're there with all our suitcases and our cats. And then they won't let us on our flights with the cats, our two cats, because and all the health documents that we have and all the international health certificates and shots and all the things that we've done to get the cats on, we are missing one document, which would be like a Bangkok health certificate for a pet, which we weren't staying in Bangkok. We're going through Bangkok to Laos. So we couldn't convince them that we didn't need the Bangkok health certificate since we weren't remaining in Bangkok. Anyway, we had to, in that moment, buy all four new flights from Dulles to Laos instead of to Bangkok and rearrange all of that. So I called my mother-in-law in Falls Church, like, come back to the airport in case we have to throw the cats in your car and leave them with you. Or we were at the airport deciding if I should stay in Virginia a little bit and we'll just send Bill and the kids on so that they can start work in school and I'll make plans for the cats or wait a few days to get another health certificate. Or I mean, it all just was falling apart at the last minute, and then it all came together and we got on our flight. We made it through. When we landed in Bangkok, Bill ended up taking a like bus shuttle thing from Bangkok for 10 hours to Vientiane with the cats and the kids.
Just
and
Bill
I.
And the cat.
Yes, Bill and the cats in like a van with, and you know how a van, it had like the flashing lights, like a disco van that you would rent for prom. So he spent 10 hours in that van by himself with two cats, and the kids and I went on our 1 hour flight.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I cannot believe it. So what, yeah. The Bangkok health form came through at the last minute?
No, we didn't need it. We just, since we bought new tickets that had final destination Laos instead of, I don't really understand how it all,
right,
what needed to happen, but.
Oh my God. What a mess. It's just like, you like, are you at the point in this life where you just plan on that kind of stuff
happening? I mean, I guess like we got to the airport 4 hours early, right? Like something we knew there could be some potential issue. So, and we got there 4 hours early and we're still like running to the gate at the last minute because we had to, it took so long to get the new tickets and figure it all out. So I guess in a way we do kind of plan that there's going to be some issue.
Catastrophe. Yeah. I know with our move, I mean, I feel like I just plan for the worst now, which sounds so like depressing. Like, who wants to live in that mindset? But we didn't want to rent a car for this summer in the United States. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, there's got to be a way to drive our van from Guadalajara to the Texas border and then cross over. But because of like safety protocols and places we can't drive, we were able to hire a driver to take our car like 18 hours from Guadalajara to the Texas border. But we thought for sure something's going to happen, you know, like at the border, we're not going to be able to cross because we won't have the right paperwork, or it just, there were so many steps. And of the summer, like, this is for sure going to be the biggest hurdle. And my husband like met that driver in the airport. My husband flew into that Ciudad Juarez and got the keys. Anyway, like 30 minutes after he met up with the driver. He called me. He's like, I'm in Texas. It was like the easiest thing. And it was just so weird for both of us to be like, we thought that was going to be the biggest hurdle this entire summer. And it just took like 30
something
minutes.
Something worked out. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just feel so surprised by this lifestyle all the time, because the things I think are going to work out smoothly, you know, tend to end up getting messed up, and then vice versa. It's just a trip.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think you're right. There's things that I think like, well, this won't be a big deal. Like other people have done this before. There's an embassy in Laos. People move there with their pets. This will work out. And then it turns out to be like nobody's ever figured this out before, ever.
Yeah.
Adventures of life. So do you feel settled now? Are you like still recovering? Is there aftershock? How are you in your moving process?
Yes. So I feel like because we've lived in this house before, and I remember talking to you during COVID in this house and recording episodes, and we were both struggling so much because we both had left Azerbaijan unexpectedly. It was such a hard time because I came without my spouse. It was COVID, so no one was even leaving their homes and like introducing themselves. Right. We walked into an empty house and I was like piecing together like a chair and a rug at a time, like off of Facebook Marketplace. And so I feel like after that, like anything is doable. And we just walked into the house and it's been so much easier this time around because there's furniture to sit on. And we also had that practice run being apart, my husband and I. And so I've been surprised how good it's gone, but it's only been a week. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's been 2 months, but it's only been 7 days. So really at any point, anything can happen, but it's been okay. And yeah, COVID's like somewhat, I mean, I know it's still around, but it's weird to be back in the States and see everyone out and about because we haven't been here. And we left right as it was kind of opening up. And now we're back and everything's like semi-normal. And it's just weird and nice because we're like seeing people's faces, and we were still wearing masks in Mexico. So
we've gone in the opposite. It was more in the States. People weren't wearing as many masks, or I mean, I don't know. It was summer, cafes were open outdoors, you know, outdoor concerts. People were kind of going back to things. We were seeing people and doing a lot of outdoor stuff. And now it's a bit more masking. And we're still testing for back to school. So that was another nerve-wracking, like, do a couple tests. I hope everyone gets to go to school. After all the travel, especially, we were worried about that. But yeah, we're okay. So that is, it's like another layer of the lens that we see things through. Remembering, like, you and I was in a closet when we were starting our podcast. We started in COVID, right?
That was the very beginning.
That's right, the very beginning. You were in that house. And now, like, the things that we're appreciative for.
And how many times have both of us moved since then?
I mean, grief.
How many? Only houses? Like 2 years ago or 3 years ago. I don't even know.
Yeah, it hasn't been that long. And it feels like, yeah, we're worlds away from where I predicted I would be, where I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you like about Laos so much? Like, what are your first impressions?
Oh my gosh. It is so cool and funky and weird. It is so bizarre. We went to, there's like, it's beautiful and tropical and jungly and hot, and the heat is not lovely, but the sights are, so everywhere you look, there's a cool kind of temple that has all kinds of decorations with animals, and then each house or building has a little spirit house in front of it, with a little, I've been reading up on kind of Lao tradition, so it's a bit of Buddhism mixed with animism, which is just like belief that there, everything has a spirit, like an animal has a spirit, a rock has a spirit. So you're just kind of honoring all of that with these tiny mini houses that look like a temple shaped little birdhouse on a pedestal, and are so cute and lovely, and just constant reminders as you walk by these mini kind of altars that people are putting different characters on, and candles and ribbons and rocks and things that matter to them in some way, shape, or form. And you are seeing that as you walk around. And then there's just cows and goats. The markets are amazing. So many veggies and things I've never seen before. I mean, I thought Japan had some wild stuff. I feel pretty well traveled, and
yeah,
I'm blown away by what I'm seeing in Laos. There's so much here. And then of course there's just like the little lizards running around the house that the cats are chasing. There's lizards outside. One of my super sweet neighbors, who's just this kind and energetic person, already she's had dengue and was in the hospital a couple of weeks ago. So there's dengue. It's just all the things are here.
Wow. I know so little about Laos, but we lived in the Philippines. I feel like that was the closest we got. And then we traveled to Cambodia and like felt that heat in its intensity, but I don't know anything about Laos. And I am so fascinated by those little houses. So do you have one out in front?
No, and I don't have one. And I think it's bad luck. It's so I want one, but I also don't know if it's cultural appropriation or inappropriate for me to get one, or how, what I need to do. But I think I've read that every house should have one because it's expected to have the mini house, and that's, I don't know, some connection to the spirit world. So we live in an expat neighborhood where most people are from Thailand or the States or Philippines, Taiwan, so different areas. So maybe we don't have them in our yard. I want one.
Yeah. Yeah. Is the predominant religion Buddhism then?
Yeah, but I think it's like the Laotian people have kind of woven their own kind of version of Buddhism. It looks like there's some, they're kind of weaving in traditions and, I don't know, implementing it in a different way than the Buddhist rules, it sounds like. Yeah. I still don't know. I'm here. I shouldn't even be responding like I have any answers. This is just my introductory research and talking to a few people and trying to figure things out as a beginner. What about you? Does it feel like home, or does it feel like a new place?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways it feels like home because it's like, when do we ever return to the place that we've lived before? That just doesn't happen in our life. And we're circling back to a place that we've lived. And this is about as home, like capital H, I think, as it gets for us, where we own a little plot of land on this earth. And that, yeah, it's definitely like reassuring to have a place to go back to when the unexpected happens, because, you know, we haven't owned a home till just, yeah, about 2 years ago. And we didn't know that so many of these things would happen where we would need a place. And, you know, you can make it work in an Airbnb or, you know, rent another house, but it sure come in handy to have a landing spot and have that landing be as soft as possible with like our own things. And but yeah, it's interesting. Remember early on, we did an episode about home and like what home represents. And I think both of us were talking a lot about how our families and just wherever our family is together feels like home. And actually, I'm like curious now that you have two kids that are living like in college, like how home has shifted for you. But yeah, having a member of the family not with us feels really unsettling to me. Like it feels like, yeah, we're living in our home, but I think I don't expect that feeling to go away this whole year, and let, you know, and just maybe during his visits when he comes back. But it feels that our home is not complete right now, because we're missing that person. And but yeah, it's, and then it's like my mind and my heart and body are so used to living in a place that's not my native home, that also feels just weird to me to come back to the States. And it's like this outsider's perspective of my native home. And right. It's weird to have that lens, like America's, to be looking at your own country, like with a critical eye, like we're kind of weird. And it's weird that we do things this way, or it's just things, I notice things that I probably wouldn't had I never left. Of course, that makes a lot of sense. But I was telling a friend, it's so weird how comforting it is to me and normal it is to me to be walking in a crowd of people that I don't understand a thing, but I actually feel comfortable in that environment. Like, I don't know what people are saying around me, but it's just, that's the norm. And then when I go to my hometown where I grew up, like this summer, I told my husband I have like anxiety about running into someone that I know. And he's like, we're weird. Like that's not normal. Usually people like running into people that they know, but I'm like, I can't do it. It just, I think it's just part of the culture shock of coming back. Where we've just lived so many years in places that, yeah, aren't our native country, that's become my norm. And
yeah, I mean, that makes sense, right? Yeah. Like live as foreigners and then you just kind of get used to that, like being on the outside and not understanding the language or not feeling, you know, or just being kind of like the sore thumb that stands out or whatever. And then it's a process and you live your life that way. And then when you're not in that mode, it's hard to get out of that mode. You're still like thinking in that way as the observer. Bill and I went out to dinner tonight and he said, I remember being like a really young Marine and being in Japan and being on my own and thinking like, wow, this is like crazy to be somewhere new and be, and he said, and I like, we still have that feeling of awe and surprise. I think even whatever, 20 years later, living, showing up in Laos and seeing a new place, but it does feel not, maybe we don't have that level of awe and amazement because we have kind of gotten used to, you just show up somewhere and then that's your home and you figure it out and see the new things and try the food and meet some nice people, and that's how it goes, and that's what you expect. And I don't know if we ever get like fully used to it, or if we get just the right amount of used to it. But
yeah.
However it works, I kind of feel weird everywhere we go.
Yeah, I know. It's just we get used to feeling out of place. Maybe I just, and in some way, that feeling isn't as uncomfortable as it was when we first started.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like it gets harder or easier? Like, do you have any thoughts about that? Because I remember starting the Foreign Service and just thinking, like, 5 years from now, this is going to be easier. And I guess in some ways, there's things that feel more natural, like my list of what to pack and where things go is more reflexive. But I don't know, starting over again this week with the kids going to school, I thought, I don't think it gets easier. Like, what do you think?
I mean, I don't know if it's like a trajectory of easier or harder for me. It's definitely like sometimes it's really easy and sometimes yeah. It's hard, but it's mine is like back and forth. And so each time that I have an easy move or an easy year or an easy like routine with the kids or something, I think like, okay, I've gotten to that point. Like, this is the easy part I've been looking forward to. And I think I've like achieved something, but I haven't, because then the next move is like harder than it's ever been. And I think like, what have I been doing for 15 years if I still haven't figured this out?
Totally.
So maybe it's just never easier or harder. It's just some pieces are easy and some are hard. But like you said, having the two kids apart, so in ways that it's so much easier, things that we do and when we plan our move, when we go out to eat, it's four of us instead of six of us. And I just think I can't tell you how many times in the last 2 years I've had the thought, like, this is so easy with two kids. Like, two kids is easy. And then it's really hard, like not being close, having them close by. I just think, this is awful. Why did I not do this or plan to live overseas? What was I thinking? I never pictured this part where I'd be so far away from two of my kids and I can't drive and go have lunch with them or go visit them on the weekend and see their college apartment. It's in that way, like, this is so much harder than having a kid throwing a tantrum and them being cranky for a weekend or missing a birthday party or something that seemed hard and awful when they were younger.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I can imagine. I mean, there's like so much distance between you. And do you feel like that's gonna, because now it's been a year and a half, 2 years for one of your kids. Do you feel like that feeling, like you get used to it being that far? Or is it just a weird feeling that
you're far I'm not away from used your kids? To it yet. Like, I have not made the adjustment. And maybe I would have had been consistent, like, 2 years, but I was close to Billy the first eight, like I've had back and forth, and then it was COVID, so we all kind of lived in the same house, and then I could go visit Jackson at JMU and you know, we were only a couple hours away, and then this summer we saw each other, so it felt like departing and saying goodbye to them this time again just felt really hard. And
yeah,
we're further away. If we had been living in Mexico, I think I would think like, okay, not bad, I can just fly over and see you, but totally. We're at like 30 hours of travel to from one place to the next, so it's yeah, hard in that way for me, but maybe not for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It's just odd.
Right. So, but like logistically, I think my life is so much easier. It is easier than like when my kids were little. I just wake up and I have coffee and I journal and like the house is quiet and there's not a lot of dishes. There's not a lot of laundry and no one's interrupting me and asking me to do things with them. So all of that has really kind of opened up and shifted into a different phase of life.
Yeah. So I had this experience the other day on the first day of school. And just speaking of easy slash hard.
Uh-huh.
And I was dropping my boys off at elementary, and my oldest is in sixth grade. So he's in his last year of elementary.
Oh my gosh, sixth.
We went up. Yeah. And we went up and like, we were like, we had all the nerves, you know, and they hadn't made friends yet, whatever.
Oh.
And there was this where like my son saw someone that he recognized from like the COVID years. That kid's friends came off the bus and they kind of like made a circle and they were like fist bumping and talking about summer. And my son was like standing on the outside. And I had this moment as a parent, like looking at that, where I just like, I couldn't breathe.
Oh.
And I felt like I was like hyperventilating because all the thoughts were going on in my head about like, we're starting over and this is so hard for him. And this is a bad age to move. And I went home and I was like, I just need to deep breathe. Cause I feel like I'm going to have like a nervous breakdown or something. But, it was weird because it's like with all these years of experience, like I had the thought, like maybe we just know too much. And so it's easy to like overthink some of these moments where he could have been totally fine inside, but yeah. Like me watching him, I was like freaking out for him and for myself, which is ridiculous. But I just was like, maybe. Yeah, all the moving as easy, like quote unquote, as the logistics get, like the emotional part of it. I don't know. I could probably use a therapist.
Couldn't we all? Oh, I know. Those moments are just like gut wrenching. I have some of those moments like solidified in my mind and memory. Like, feeling those feelings and questioning everything and like, there is no way to protect ourselves from that and protect our kids from that. We could live in one place forever and still have to face that, or like some mean kids or something. Like, we can't
protect
ourselves. That, oh, it's hard. Oh, I'm reaching through and giving you a hug.
Yeah, same. Love to Laos.
Thanks.
And it's nice to be chatting again. We should try to chat next week.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it. We're back on track. We'll see y'all next week.
Okay, thanks, Angie.
Thanks.